This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're a performer, it's a funny thing when you're a center stage because you know that once you've chosen to go down a certain path, you have to commit to it.
Yeah. Welcome to Backstage Chicago. I'm Lisa Fielding with WBBM News Radio. And today we're in the Irving Park neighborhood on Chicago's north side, inside Sway Dance. And today we're talking all about burlesque in Chicago, and I'm joined by three wonderful burlesque performance artists. Red Hot Annie, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, and Dee Dee Dupree.
Hello.
And Darling Shear.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Hello. Hola. We can think of a different ways to say hello. Thanks for joining us today. So I was telling you a little bit before how I decided to kind of talk to you guys about this this art in Chicago. Goes back to a time where I went to a place on the north side called Blue Bayou, and it was Fat Tuesday for Mardi Gras, and apparently I saw Red Hot Annie perform on the bar as part of Fat Tuesday. So I loved that. I thought that was wonderful, and I thought, wow, she's got some skills. And she's on top of the bar, and everyone's loving her right now. Then, fast forward to probably 3 or 4 years, there was another place that just opened in Chicago, and they had this huge burlesque show. And I thought, man, I love this art. And now it's really kind of taking off in Chicago. So tell me a little bit about how each of you got involved in this performance art. And we'll go from there. Annie.
You know, I actually got started through regular theater, and I wanted an opportunity to make my own work, to completely curate my own work, to make my own costumes, and have something that I could visit over and over again over the course of time. And what I loved about burlesque at the time was that I would go to these shows, and the women who were producing it and directing it and doing all the tech, and the women who were on stage, who were creating all of their costumes and their own choreography and everything, it just drew me into the sisterhood. And so when I found burlesque, I felt like I found my people. And that's what really drew me into burlesque.
And you said you hadn't had any dance training.
No, I didn't.
And you started at the ripe old age of 27, which isn't old at all, but.
Well, for a dancer, so that is kind of old. Yeah, and you know, I considered myself somebody with two left feet at the time. And so learning how to dance through the art of burlesque was really a dream come true for me, because as a child, I would have loved to have taken dance classes. I would have loved for my parents to have seen that artistic part of me and encouraged it, and burlesque gave me that outlet.
Never too late.
Never too late.
You're a perfect example. Now, darling, you have classical dance in your blood. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you began as a dancer and kind of how it evolved into this performance art.
I started dancing, well, it's two parts to that. I started dancing without training, I think at the age of like 11 or 12. And I remember performing at a talent show, and all of my friends were like, we didn't know that you could dance. And then they were like, where do you take dance class at? And I was like, well, I don't. And they were like, well, this is crazy. And so then I really like stood out, because the faculty at my middle school, they ended up having a conversation with my grandparents, who I was living with at the time, and they wanted me to go to a performing arts high school. And so I found that out like, I think my eighth grade year. And then it was just like, so y'all have been like plotting this for years now. And so then that's when I got my formal training, which was in high school. And it was just, I feel like I'm often bad with words. And so like, it's easier for me to express through movement. And then just my journey through with dance helped me to come to understand that movement is a part of life. And so I was like, okay, this just feels right. So then cut to me like graduating from high school, and I started working with this dance company called Glow ATL. We were doing this crazy, like, they would do a lot of like immersive performances, site specific stuff. And so we were, we had this big performance that was with the Rialto. It started off at the Rialto, which is a well-known concert. And
Juliet.
And then it traveled to the Woodruff Park, which is kind of like in the downtown like area. And it was this like performance, parade, procession like thing. And during that performance, there were a lot of like character actors that were like, we kind of created this town. And one of the actors, her name was Pinky Shear. We ended up like making, you know, having conversation and like just like fell in love with each other. And so she was like, well, I do burlesque and you should come and like check it out. I think you would enjoy it. And I was like, all right. So I started to work with her, and then that she became my burlesque mother. And then that was the what got me into the world of burlesque. And then I think my first burlesque performance actually was at the High Museum, which is like the MCA, but for Atlanta. And I did a recreation of Chocolat, which is it's a dance that Gene Kelly does in American in Paris. And it's like this, and the whole thing was that there was like a big Toulouse-Lautrec exhibit that was happening at the museum. And so they hired them to come in and like recreate different like things. And so that's my beginning.
Wow. That's very cool. Very cool. Did you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into this business?
Mine's not that cool. I'm a little sad now. So I didn't have any dance training, but I was always an actress. Like, I was always a big theater nerd back in high school, always on stage.
I can tell.
And I was looking for an outlet to be able to perform, and I didn't quite feel like theater in Chicago was accepting me in the way that I wanted, and I just happened to see an ad by Red Hot Annie looking for someone to help out with the shows. They call it stage kittening, which is when you come and to clear the clothes off the stage and set up props and do all the things like a stagehand would do. And so I started off just as a stagehand, and from there worked my way into classes, worked my way into kind of performing in a sort of JV squad where we just kind of learn the basics of movement and dance and performance and putting yourself out there. The basics of making yourself watchable and how to create a presence on stage, and which was invaluable. It was one of the best times of my life. It was so much fun. And when JV disbanded, I was like, well, I think this is probably my sign. I think it's time for me to actually start branching out on my own. So I began doing my own solo performances probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And so I've just been going around Chicago, taking my clothes off wherever they'll let me.
Famous last words, right? But it's much more than that, of course. Let's talk about, how would you describe burlesque to someone who maybe, they know the word, but really don't know what it is? I think it's an upper interpretation between all of you, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
The one thing that people don't know, I think people don't know and people don't realize, is that there's a lot of satire in burlesque. It's very multifaceted. Because of like the place that it's lumped into with like exotic dance, but it's so much more than that. It has these really beautiful theatrical components, these really great comical components, and I feel like it's like the perfect melding of like the two, where you can go like super vamp, very sexy, but even within that, there still is this like
there's still layers. Yeah. There's still ways to create something that's wholly unique and wholly the person. Like, they don't have to pretend to be Josephine Baker on stage. They can be, you know, Groucho Marx if they want and still be sexy and really create whatever it is that they feel most speaks to them, and then have that speak to an audience. And I think that's really cool.
I would definitely say that part of what I love about burlesque is that it's celebrating what I would consider to be women's sexuality, because so often in our culture, we're taught that sexy is if I say this, if I do this, if I wear this, then that person will find it sexy. And burlesque is really aiming to put the artist in the driver's seat. And when the artists are predominantly women, and the show is produced predominantly by women, then you have a really different flavor of what sexuality can be, because women have a very wide and eclectic taste when it comes to sex and sexuality. And so for us, it might be great to have like a wonderful lacy lingerie piece, but it also might be really liberating to have like a rubber chicken that you pull out of your crotch. So that
idea.
So that sense of liberation to me is at the core of what burlesque is. Mm-hmm.
I would have to agree with the evolution of this art as well. And I think the biggest thing I got out of it when I learned more about it was body positivity. Mm-hmm. When you think of striptease, you think of, you know, the men's clubs and things like that. And more often than not, the women that do that sometimes don't look like a normal woman. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this like unattainable species to look like. And I remember seeing, you know, one of you on stage and thinking, that's what I look like. I should be confident enough to do what she does. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, because mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest message you guys send. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
That's been a big thing for me, because I, as a plus size performer, I get so many women, usually women, who come up to me after the shows and are like, oh, you were so inspiring. It was so amazing to see you on stage doing what you do. And, you know, and you looked so beautiful and it was so wonderful. And I was like, anyone can do it. You know, you have to feel confident in yourself that, you know, you don't have to be the perfect size two. You don't have to be a double D cup. You can get up there in however you are, in whatever place, whatever gender, whatever anything, and just sort of be seen for you. And I think Chicago is really unique in that, because I think some other burlesque communities in other cities and other states aren't quite as body positive as Chicago is. Chicago really has a lot of plus sized performers, a lot of body positivity, and you go somewhere else and it might be more conventionally attractive women. And so that's what I really love about the Chicago burlesque scene.
Attractive.
Yeah. Whatever.
Let's not even use
it's funny though. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not even use plus size. You know, because this is our size. The average, you know, person is not what you see on television or in the model. I mean, let's talk about the history. Sally Rand, even Marilyn Monroe, they were all like size 16s and ups, you know, and that was normal. And, you know, it's really, society's really, you know, just crushed that. And I think you all help get back to what we should be more healthy as women, as men, as gender identity, whatever, to feeling good about ourselves no matter what size we are. And I don't know, I feel really strongly about that. Mm-hmm. And when I hear plus, I think, there shouldn't be plus. We're who we are. Mm-hmm. And you guys are great examples of that.
Yeah, it's interesting, like with that, because I worked in fashion for a while, and one of the things that I would like have a lot of conversation with people about, you know, folks that always, you know, ask me, you know, it's like, especially for like couture shows, they're like, you know, why are these outfits so expensive? And then it's like, and the models are always so thin and whatnot. And then it's just like, well, this is a two-part question to that, because it's like, it is a trade show. You know, it's like people forget about that. It's been blown up into this like big thing. But at the end of the day, it is a trade show, so people can like come and purchase things. And one of those things was because of cost of things. And so you are having garments that are being made where the starting off price for just the uncut fabric is, you know, your average couture gown is starting off at like $500 a yard. And so, and that's not even talking about the more like extravagant, like designers who, like, you know, back in the day, your Galliano's, and I mean, also like Dior, you know, back in the day when he, you know, the fact that he did the new look and, you know, was using all that fabric and like that, you know, those are the things. So like, that's a part of like this thing of like slenderness, like,
to save money.
It was because of saving money.
It's done more damage than
only
you think,
but
you know?
The thing is, only women have to be slender.
Yeah,
we got to save the money on the women's clothes.
Right, right. Right. But I just think that's wonderful. And when I see you guys perform, I think of that right away. And I think you mentioned that some of your audience comes up to you and says, do you get a lot of like, thank you, you had a great, I feel better about myself now, maybe I could do that, that kind of thing. Tell me about your experiences with your audiences.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is that I think a lot of people come into the show not totally sure what to expect. Like, maybe they have a little bit of a picture of, you know, Pussycat Dolls or Dee DeVantis or sort of these certain things. But once you actually see a show, and like Dee Dee is saying, really, especially in Chicago, when you see a show and you see people up on stage who are representative of you, it is... it moves you, it changes you. And I think people can't help but to express that verbally, like, you made a difference in my world. You've changed what I think is possible for me. And I think that's huge.
We all have insecurities, I mean, especially. Totally. And something like that really can liberate you on a daily basis, I think. Let's talk a little bit about the history of burlesque. I mean, we were talking about Sally Rand and the fan dances and things like that. And it was really popular, I think, around the 20th, or the, yeah, around the 19th century. And then I would say about 15 years ago, I thought I saw this resurgence in Chicago. And I don't know if I'm right with the historical, you know, I saw it kind of popping up everywhere and saw really cool shows. When did it really take off again here in Chicago? And you found that more cabarets, more clubs, more people were saying, hey, we need to get in on this.
When did burlesque come out?
Yeah, it was burlesque. It was when Burlesque the movie came out. It was like 20,
with Sharon,
it was about 2011.
Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, it was 2010, 2011.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I opened my studio right before that Burlesque movie came out, and then people were like, oh my gosh, I want to learn burlesque. So...
And we're in a dance studio. Are there lessons?
Yes, I teach classes here every Tuesday.
Okay, tell me what you need to know or what you don't need to know. Can anyone learn burlesque?
Yes, anyone can learn burlesque. And in fact, I do burlesque parties. So what people will do is they'll invite their closest, you know, friends. Sometimes there's even, you know, teenagers who are learning to love their bodies. So everybody comes and you wear whatever you're comfortable wearing and we put some music on and then you just tap into that part of you that already knows what is sexy, already knows how to connect to other people, and you allow that part to manifest through your beautiful physical body.
And is there any type of style that you each have that you can describe, like a typical performance?
I would say my style is sort of playful and pretty, but a little bit, I don't know, I guess tongue-in-cheek and, yeah, satirical.
For me, I oscillate between, like... the facets of Selena Kyle and Catwoman, specifically Michelle Pfeiffer's.
There's a difference.
There's a difference.
Are you Eartha Kitt or are you?
No, it's definitely Michelle Pfeiffer's. Okay. I lick people's faces.
Okay, we have to see this show.
yes, you do.
And then I've been trying to get more silly. I feel like there was... I would get a lot of feedback from people who are like, I was scared to come and talk to you, which, you know, just happens being, you know, being on the stage. Yeah. But I feel like, especially when you're doing the more like super sexy vamped up stuff, like people become really intimidated. And I was like, well, I don't want to like, you know, isolate folk. 'Cause it's like, I love to like give people hugs and, you know, and so
And so lick people's faces. Now, did COVID put a damper on that? Probably.
Well, that was definitely the thing. Linda was like, okay,
a little, when I be able to
start
thing.
Licking people's faces again. And I remember it was July 11th was when I licked my first face. 2021, July 11th.
You remember that?
I do.
Okay, so you. And did the person receive that well?
They loved it.
Okay. All right, we're at that point. That's a good benchmark.
The audience will usually be really involved. If you come into the audience and try to bring them into whatever it is you're doing, they will usually, they're 100% behind it. And they will go along with whatever it is that you're doing most of the time. They love it.
Well, part of burlesque is very intimate.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'm sitting right next to you like I am right now when you're performing.
Yeah.
So the intimacy, you can't help but not be part of it, right?
It's true.
As an audience member?
Yeah, that's true.
Any crazy stories other than, I think you've topped that. Any other crazy stories that come to mind?
Oh, I think if we had long enough, I think we all have quite a few crazy stories.
Like to share right now? Anything come to mind?
Oh, gosh.
Did you go home and say, wow, that was a crazy story?
One of my favorite shows was this wonderful live band show, and it was a Valentine's Day show. And I had, at the last second, made my costume, because that's what you do as a burlesque artist sometimes. And I had found those little tiny Valentine's Day heart boxes that hold the chocolates in it. And I'd taken the tops of the boxes and made a little bra, you know, two little hearts. And then I had actually made a panty that was like a fully functional chocolate box where I take the lid off and then I take a chocolate out of my little chocolate box.
Wow.
And I take a little bite of it, and it was like a chocolate covered cherry. So all of the juice just and I didn't have anything on except for my little Valentine's Day box bra. And so it splashes all over my face. It dribbles down my chin, and then I ate the chocolate, and then I gave my fingers to someone in the audience. And even as you're doing, when you're a performer, it's a funny thing when you're a center stage, because you know that once you've chosen to go down a certain path, you have to commit to it.
Yeah.
So your fingers go towards the audience, and you're like, oh my gosh, what if they're like, no way, I don't want to lick your fingers. I don't want to lick your fingers. And fortunately, it was someone I knew.
Okay.
And afterwards, I was like, okay, was that super awkward? And she was like, no, it was fine. I loved it.
Well, see, you made, you know, a good situation out of a malfunction. It was a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, it was kind of it was like, you know, everybody saw it happen. They saw me get all juicy, and then it was like, of course they want to be like helpful.
Now you're going to have to integrate that into every time, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I like it. Well, I mean, being center stage, you are like, it really is goddess energy, because you are really standing there, like letting everybody take you in and watch you. And again, because of the way that our culture works, we don't have a lot of language around what that looks like for a woman to be center stage and like the focal point of adoration. We don't have enough language about that. And so we don't realize how much power she actually has standing there on center stage, and that we do all actually really want to support her and, yeah, lick her fingers clean. Necessary.
So do you guys come up with your own ideas, obviously, and do you kind of change it up with every show, or depending how the audience reacts?
You know, some places there's a place, and like sometimes I'll get called the Drifter, which is at the Green Door Tavern?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And I've been performing there for 5 years now, which I'm like, wow, where did that time go?
Oh, yeah.
And I've gotten some feedback from like the person who like does the curation of the show, and they've been like, you do a lot of slow pieces here. And it's like, you know, can you do something a little bit more like up-tempo? But I'm in my stocking feet, I'm 5'9". Once I put on heels, I'm like 6'3".
Wonderful.
And then sometimes, yeah, like if I have my fans, that's an, you know, additional like wingspan. And the space is small,
yeah,
and the stage is not that big. And so like, I love performing there, but also too, it's like, I can't do anything, because it is that thing of where it's just like, the audience is literally like right at the bottom of your feet.
Hitting them with your fans or something.
Yeah, I might kick someone, I could fall off the stage, so many things. So it does, like, you have to shift things from space to space. We've all been through the, you know, places of being like, oh, you know, where's the dressing room? Is the bathroom? Okay, where's the stage? That's the stage? Oh, okay.
You have this wall to change costumes behind. Hopefully nobody will come back and peek on you.
Or like, yeah, are you going to mop that first?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Oh, man. That, oh. The stories I'm sure you guys could tell about the venues you've been. Yeah.
Performing in a stage. It's about 5 feet wide and about maybe 6 feet across. And having to make sure that all those elaborate dance moves that you came up with are going to fit into this tiny space. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, no. Tiny steps, tiny steps, tiny movements. And... it's just, but I think it is important to have like a range of acts just for that reason. Like my style, I think, is more sort of sultry, but it vacillates between high energy and slower and sexier. But it's always pretty sultry. And so like I have my high energy, you know, fun dance that will take me across a stage and fill a room. If I'm in a big room, then I have something I can move around. And I have my slower sultry where I'm mostly in a chair and most of my movement is centered around a chair. It's good for a small space. It's good for, you know, that. And so I think every burlesque dancer kind of has a little repertoire of things that they can pull out and be like, okay, this is my space, this is what I'm working with, and this is what I'm feeling today. Let me just see what I have, which performer I'm going to be today.
And that's great for the audience too. Because you never know what you're going to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with you.
Oh, my God. I think my favorite act, other than, like, licking people, is a few years ago, I was just, like, it was, you know, Christmas music going, and I love, like, really fun, like, remixes, and so there's this really cute remix of Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag, and... we have been working in nightlife for a long time, and we're familiar with some of the recreational things that people partake in to be able to make it through the evening.
Okay.
And so we developed this act where it's to Everyone's Waiting for the Man with the Bag, where I have a bag full of quote unquote, I'm doing air signs, air quotes, cocaine, and I'm putting it on like every surface and like doing like huge rails just like off of everything, and the piece just gets more and more cracked out until I'm like jittery at the end, and then I like fall on the floor and everyone loves it.
This is hilarious. I'm trying to, you know, imagine that right now. Do you still do that
one? I just did it a few weeks ago. Okay. I did it a few months ago.
Wow.
At the Drifter.
Amazing. It was. So I wanted to touch on really quick. We talked about COVID and everything. But during that time, you guys were sidelined. And I know a lot of you turned to virtual and like in person and kind of for hire. What have you found coming back now? Are people just really anxious to be in person and, you know, have their face licked or whatever it is? You know what I'm saying? It sounds crazy. But I'm just saying, like, are people hungry for that in person again? And I'm sure you guys all remember the first time you were back after 18 months or even 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of share that kind of experience over the last couple of years and how.
I did a couple of virtual shows during the lockdown, and just recording an act, just me and a camera, was a strange experience. It was definitely worlds different than having an appreciative audience in front of you, and trying to bring that same energy to a camera was difficult. And so I think my first live performance coming back was just last October. But there was so much energy and so much goodwill, and everyone was just so happy to be in a space with other people again, and so happy to be supporting the artists on stage. Like, it was just such a great crowd, and people were screaming and cheering and, you know, throwing dollar bills and just, you know, really, I think everyone's just been thirsty for not only connection with other people, but connection from the energy that an artist brings when they're on stage. And so coming back to that has been like coming home for me.
Yeah.
It's been a really great experience.
And people are coming to the shows again?
Definitely. Right. Yeah, we're selling out a couple of the shows that I've been in. I think they've all sold out.
Wonderful.
They've been, they've had to do some have had to do virtual components where they're also streaming just to make sure that everyone who wants to see the show can see it. And everyone really wants it.
Are these your full-time jobs or do you have other things that you do?
I have a real full-time job.
And you do this kind of at night and the weekends and things like that?
Yeah, it's mostly a hobby.
But it takes a lot of time, probably off the clock, to really be creative and figure out the crazy things that you do. How do you wake up one night and say, I think I'm going to fake snorting cocaine? Like, how does that come to your brain?
I work a lot in, I've been, working a lot in clubs and things for, I mean, and that's kind of like a part of it, yeah. You know? And so that's just, you know, one of those things that's like a part of club culture, you know, yeah. The recreational things. And so you, I think that was the thing too, that was even more funny about that act is because my friends know I hate cocaine so much. I literally just posted something about it on my Instagram. And it's more so because I'm naturally, I get why people do it. It helps them like stay up, but I'm naturally up.
Naturally and intoxicated. So,
like, that's the thing that, like,
thing.
I'm like, I can't, I'm like, y'all, like, I really don't want to do it because, like, I'm all, it, like, just makes me more up. And then I'm like, why am I this up?
Okay, people say that about me too. But it's also just making fun of the crazy things that happen.
Yeah, nothing's off limits.
Exactly.
Nothing's off limits.
It's a great show. It's a great motto, mm-hmm. Right? Okay, on that note, tell me where we all can, or tell us, the audience, where we can find you guys. Now I want to see all of your performances.
Well, I'm predominantly teaching burlesque parties throwing burlesque parties, which I usually do here at Sway, and that's mostly my focus right now.
So unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, the days of the Tupperware parties are long gone.
They're long gone.
We must do burlesque parties.
Now throw a burlesque party.
For sure.
Yeah, take your clothes off with your friends.
I love it.
In the privacy of your own home.
But you did do a lot of performance around Chicago.
Yeah, and I still do a lot of private performances. I love to pop out of a cake at Grandpa's, 80th birthday party. That's like one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, man.
Or to break the ice, at your like fun basement party. I totally love to be that person who's like weaving in between people's feet to dance. That's my idea of a good time.
Awesome.
But yeah, mostly I'm focused on, on the parties and just, reminding women of how powerful and strong we are and how we deserve to be in the leadership positions that we're in.
Great. And word of mouth, right? Like this, can find out something like that. That's so unique and fun. Okay. What about you?
For me, I perform all over. I'm going to be performing with the Fly Honeys. We're at Thalia Hall on June 23rd through the 25th. I'm also in another show called, I think it's called, and that's what I call Grelly. And it's going to be at a Hideout Inn. And that's every Tuesday in April. And then the third Friday and Saturday of April. And this is a very interesting show. It pays homage to actresses from like the 70s through the 90s.
Ooh.
And there's different vignettes that recreate scenes from film and like clips from like interviews and things. But it's taken very seriously, which makes it so hilarious. And this might get bleeped out, but like I'm constantly being like, we are shittiots because you're like stuff that you're not expecting, and then you're just like, what did I just see? And then you're just like butt gusting, like on the floor in tears, laughter.
Great.
So, yeah.
What a great tease. That's great. Speaking of.
So I'm in the middle of developing a new act, so I don't have a performance coming up right away. But if people want to follow me on Instagram, I'm dd.dupree, and I always post about upcoming shows. I post about friends' exhibits and works. And so if you follow me, dd.dupree on Instagram, then you will definitely find out where I'm performing next.
How many of you think are in Chicago that do this? Would you?
Over 100.
There's definitely over 100. More than that, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
More than 100.
There's still people that I've been doing burlesque in Chicago for 10 years. And I started actually with this lovely being to my left.
So we're all connected.
when I first moved back, I was looking for like places to go, and the two names that like kept coming up was Annie and then Michelle Lamour. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to Annie's
exit.
Yeah, exit.
Exit the punk rock bar.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, exit.
A picture of us. I still have that picture of us of like the first night that we met. And then I was like yeah, scooching with Vodzilla for like probably like 5 years.
Yeah, a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are delightful, and I can't wait to see all of your shows. And I think people, if they want a unique night out and escape, this is the way to go. Mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate. Thanks so much for joining me today. We have Red Hot Annie, and we have Darling Shear, and we have Dee Dee Dupree. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you,
for Chicago.
This. Thank you.
Coming up next week on Backstage Chicago, it's considered the premier sci-fi fantasy production company in North America, and it's tucked away inside a storefront in Wrigleyville. Walk into the Otherworld Theater, and you're literally transported to another world. A storefront that houses two stages, a bar, a dragon head, and other oddities. We sit down with the company's founder, and we talk about the latest immersive sci-fi whodunit, the new improv show, how live-action role-playing is taking off, and how their mission is to unite gamers and theater nerds everywhere. Listen to the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.